All right, take your Bibles and turn to Romans. Turn to Romans. We're going to turn to chapter 8. We're all going to stand together as we read verse 37. In verse 37 of Romans chapter 8, I hope you all have it. I'd like you to see this. Nay, in all these things, how many things? All these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 37 says again, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What a beautiful, wonderful verse. God is so very good to every single last one of us. And I just want to pull a few points out of this chapter. Wonderful chapter. Do you even know what you're more than conquerors of? Do you even know? Because I'm going to tell you this chapter's loaded with them. But I'm just going to pick on a few of them tonight. I'm excited about it. I want to encourage you tonight. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother John, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Please. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you in here tonight know the Lord as your Savior? Can you say amen? Amen. Now, it's a wonderful thought of heaven, wonderful thought of the streets of gold, wonderful thought of no more suffering and pain, wonderful thought of going to heaven someday. But Christian, you must understand that we're not defeated here either. While we walk this earth, many of us, many times, find ourselves in a defeatist attitude. An attitude where that we believe that this world is so bad that it's impossible in this day and age to have revival, or impossible in this day and age for anything to go right, or impossible, my soul, if this nation's so bad that we can put Obama in the White House, how can we ever recover? Got news for you. The Bible's not interested in who's president. God's not interested in who's in the White House. God's not interested in any of those things that can easily beset the Christian, those things that get on our mind and take the place of our thought processes, that take the place of how we act every single day. I understand we're in the world, Christian, but understand this more. We are not of it. We are just passing through. We're only going to be here for a short time, and then we get to spend eternity in that heaven that we talk about. But understand this, I don't want to trade a moment that the Lord has given me here for contemplation of how bad it is. I want to talk about how good it can be. Is God done here yet? Josh Sells, is God done here yet? If he was done, we'd be gone. He's not done. He's not done. And I don't have to have a million people in a tent to tell me that. I know God's not done. I'd love to have a million in a tent. Don't misread me. But at the very same time, I sure would like to make it a little bit more personal to you tonight. Why? I don't want to live on preacher's excitement. Come on, help me now. Help me now. I don't want to live on his excitement. I don't want to live on Brother Bill's excitement or Brother Bob's excitement. I don't live on their excitement, because there may be days that they're down in the dumps. There may be days I'm down in the dumps. That happens a little bit out here and there. I understand that. But understand this. I want to be excited. I said, I want to be excited. Listen, is the same Lord over all rich unto all that call upon him? So if you've called upon him, you should get excited in yourself. Michael, if you get upset, if you get angry, don't come to Josh and say, Josh, I need your excitement today. Get your own. and then get a new suit after I just wrecked that one. Don't worry, that one is being displayed. That's for display purposes only. That's on eBay later on. Romans, then don't wreck it. Just sit further back. Hey, listen, Romans 8:37 says, nay in all the, how many? Oh, I love that word when it comes to the Bible. I love that. I love that. God doesn't leave anything out. All these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. Doesn't stop there. That loved us. Now I want you to see, there's five things. Five things. We'll get out of here as soon as possible. I almost promise. Now, first one. We, through Christ, this is so good. We've conquered death and hell. Do you understand what that means? We walk around this world looking like we're walking in it. We look like we're walking in death and hell every single day. We act like this world has come over on top of us, and death and hell are something we've got to look forward to. I got news for you. If death does come to you, hell won't. Here's what it is. By the way, verse 1 of chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He's overcome through Christ. We don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about hell. It ain't coming to us. Wow. You know what? Go back to sleep. I'll praise God all on my own. Woohoo! I don't have to worry about death. As I'm standing over Tom Saylor's bed, 5 minutes he's getting ready to die. 5 minutes later he's getting ready to rise again. Can't figure him out. But understand this. If he closes his eyes here and his time in here is done, Christ has conquered that death for him. Christ has conquered that hell for him. Christ has conquered that. So if he opens up his eyes, all he's going to see is God Himself. See, what's amazing to me, Christians, we live the life of the most victorious people, and the most victorious people lead the life of the most defeated. Well, I didn't get my way in the vote, and so I must be sad the rest of my life. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Ain't no wonder we got big holes in this church. Ain't no wonder. I got to go to church tonight. I got to praise the Lord tonight. I got to do something. I mean, I'm waiting for church to do something. You know, church is not a spectator sport. I get the biggest kick out of fud-dud, quiet, dead church. You know what they are? They haven't had a Christ that conquered death for them. See, we do have the Christ that has conquered death and hell for us. We don't. If you've accepted Christ tonight, you should be excited enough to know that when you face that valley, when you face that shadow, when you face that long walk across that long valley, you're going to have somebody walking with you, and that's Jesus Christ with His rod and His staff. I always pictured it this way, and you can take it forever you want. I'm a little excited tonight. No coffee either. This is all natural. I can see Jesus come, Psalm 23. You ever think about that? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And how many sticks is that? Rod and staff. That's two, Jim. Good job, man. Up and comer. Listen, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think about this all the time. I can see Jesus coming. And whatever. Say, don't get happy about death. Don't get happy about heaven. Whatever you want to do, be sad the rest of your life. He comes to you with a rod and a staff. He says, hey, we're going to need these because I'm going to walk with you. You take this one, I'll take this one. Let's walk together. Let's walk together. And you say that's not right. Well, let me explain something to you. I've been with people on their deathbed. I've seen, a preacher saw Eddie Lyman reach up. He had to get his stick. Hey, he had to get his stick. I saw a man that was thrashing and thrashing and thrashing and thrashing. He couldn't, oh man, I'm telling you, he couldn't be contained. He had the feathers on him, and he was sitting there like this, and he was scrambling. His eyes were real wide, mouth real wide. He's sitting there, and I came in and said, man, can I talk to him for a moment? The family left the room. I couldn't believe they let me in there. I'm nuts. Why would you leave me in there with your family member?
I walk in there and I'm talking to him. I said, hey, listen, Leslie, I know you can hear me. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus loves you. And I believe with all my heart you're seeing things that you don't want to be seeing right now. And you've got a Lord that loves you and he wants you to be saved. And I led a prayer. He wasn't praying with me, but inside of his head he was. 2 seconds after the prayer, I swear to you, it gives me chills to this day. He's thrashing and thrashing and thrashing. In Jesus' name, amen. And he laid there. He laid there. Why? Because the guy with the stick showed up. Why? Because Christ still saves people. Why? Because he didn't have to worry about death anymore. Why? Because he doesn't have to worry about that hell anymore. Let me help you out a little bit. Hell is real. Hell is real. And if you're saved, you don't ever have to worry about it. Because heaven's real too. All of your little piddly bickering, gone. Ha ha ha! Woohoo! Everybody going to get along in heaven. I don't even know what's that going to be like. Baptist preachers are going to get stripped of their titles because we're the ones that always give them burrs up people's saddles, I'll tell you. We've got a time that's coming that he's made us victorious. Victorious. Quit walking around sad sack. We're victorious. The man wakes up the next day, laying in the bed, wakes up and tells, hey, did you know that Baptist preacher came in this room? I'm not kidding. This is what the family told me. I wasn't there for this. Did you know that Baptist preacher came in here? Did you know I accepted the Lord as my Savior? I tell you, craziest thing I've ever seen. Within the next day, he was gone. Into eternity. Woke up just long enough to put everyone's mind at ease. Do we serve a good God? Now, wait a minute, you better act like it. Do we serve a good God? Yeah, is there things going wrong? Yeah, there are things. We are in the world. We are in this world. We're in the world. We can't get out of it. There's craziness all over the place. I understand homosexuality running rampant. I understand all these things held up as queeros. I get it. But we are more than victorious through Jesus Christ. We act like we can't tell somebody about Christ because they would turn them down. Are they nuts? Turn them down. You're stupid if you do. Why are we worried? Hey, we're taking victory. I know we're in Cleveland, but they can win here. I'm going to tell you we need to take our Lord to them because he's on the winning side. We need to take our Lord to them because we're on the winning side. We walk around acting like we're going to lose all the time. We're not going to lose. We've already won. Not only has he conquered death and hell, oh man, through Christ, we have conquered sin. Oh, what do you mean? I'm still a sinner. You are. You really are. But I want you to read this. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You do not have to sin. You're sinners, no doubt about it. You're sinners, and in your flesh you can do what? No good thing. But with the Spirit of God behind you, we through Christ are more than conquerors. I haven't got to that verse yet. That verse is coming. So all these things must be under that verse. All these things. A-L-L. Don't leave out sin. You say, well, the devil made me do it. Devil didn't make you do a thing. You did it all on your own. Devil made me drink that alcohol. No, he didn't. You did it all on your own, sinner. You can say what you want to say. The devil made me do that, smoke that marijuana joint. No, he didn't. You liked it. Sin is fun for a season. We get into this sin, but I tell you right now, I've seen person after person get into deep sin and deep sin and deep sin. But I'm telling you, Christ is bigger than that. Christ is bigger than that sin. He's made us more than conquerors. None of our own. We've got to call upon Christ. It's got to be His Spirit, because in our flesh we can do no good thing. It's got to be through Him. Got to be. And if we rely on God, rely on Him in our life, He's made us more than conquerors. More than conquerors. I mean, I'd like to, boy, just being a conqueror sure sounds fun. But more than conquerors. He's given us the ability to look at sin and spit it in the eye through Jesus Christ. I don't have to get onto the top of the refrigerator and open the box of Twinkies. Come on, I know that's a funny, but it's true. I don't have to. I don't have to do the things that I do that God doesn't want me to do. I don't have to. I don't have to leave the tracts in my pocket when I ought to hand them out. I don't have to. It's my choice. Just like your sin's your choice. God wouldn't choose you to sin. Here's what you have to do, though. First off, you have to realize that it is sin. Whew. In this day and age, those waters are being muddied on what's right and what's wrong. It preaches good. Well, just if two people love each other, shouldn't we join them in holy matrimony? No, that's not what God said. It better be husband and wife. See, there's rules. And God has made us more than conquerors, but the waters are getting awful muddied. Do you know why? Because we ceased to go to the black and white of the rules and started to seek into the gray instead. We can't make up our own rules. Boy, I tried my best to hammer on that in Sunday school today. Jeannie, you can't make up your own rules. We don't have that ability. All men do it. Oh, well, it's not so bad. Amen. You ever done that? It's not so bad. Yeah, but 65 Twinkies later, I've now put on 35 pounds. Now it's so bad. The first one wasn't so bad. 65th might not be so good. Now you're tipping the scales, wondering why you ain't working out. See, the same thing is with your sin. I guarantee an alcoholic didn't start out with 24 cases of beer. He started out with the first drink. Say what you want to. Get mad at me all you want to. But I've seen alcohol wreck more lives than I have anything else. Facebook is coming in a close second, but glory to God, amen. Buster, I knew you were going to get to that stinking social media. I knew it. Why do you like people that much? Why do you like people so much? You got to tell them that you just got up. I don't want anybody to know that. Why do you have to tell them you just ate an apple or you just brushed your teeth? I like you, Michael. We're never going to be that close. Why do you got to tell somebody every moment of every aspect of every inch of your day? By the way, what they're saying, honey, is a lie. Do you know why I know it's a lie? Because they didn't just brush their teeth. They just typed in the computer, "I just brushed my teeth." That's what they just did. So now you're just lying to each other. If that's not sin, I don't know what is. What's amazing to me, it's real easy to spot sin. If you feel like you're getting away with something, it's sin. Just about every time. There's times, whatever, I'm sure I'll meet six people afterwards and say, "Well, I thought I got away, and it wasn't sin." I'm going to tell you right now, I'm talking little sins now. If you're in dwelling in pornography and all the biggies, you're in sin. Come on now. Don't be foolish. You're in sin. But if you felt like you're getting away with something, you're in sin. You're in sin. It's fun to get away with. Boy, that's the victorious life. No, you lost, see? You lost. So you've got to claim the victory. That's the great thing about being a Christian. It's something that you can claim. Just like you got saved, you claim salvation. It's yours. You took it. You received Christ. He called you. You answered the phone. You got saved. Amen? The same thing with getting rid of sin. You've got to call upon God, "Please get this out of my heart. Get this out of my life." And He's made you more than a conqueror. I'm telling you, we live in a day where we've forgotten that we win. Help me. Brother Myers, we win. Austin, we win. I don't care how many vertical inches you add on your leap, son. We win. My son's football team lost. And they lost yesterday, whatever. To me, those things are becoming so minuscule. And I love him. I love to watch. I love to see my son, the little man, little Mitter. I love to see him whacking on people. Bam, bam, bam. I love it. Football's awesome. And I love to watch it, but I'm going to tell you, do you know what it meant the next day? Nothing. What we deal with is eternal. Why do we preach so hard? I want these teenagers to understand. You do not have to do what your friends do. No, see, I hate this kind of teaching. Boy, I'm going to stick here for a minute. I hope you're not mad at me. But I hate the kind of teaching where they blame mommy and daddy for their problems. I hate that. I come from a broken home. My dad's a social drinker. Good man. More honest than probably 98% of the Christians in the world. Just got saved a little while ago. Preacher was here. Just got saved. My mom, you know what her life was. She was, talk about sin. I didn't turn out that way. I made a choice. And through that choice, Kyle, I said, God, I'm going to have to let you have the reins because I've had them in my hands for a long time, and it's time for you to take control. Put God in the right seat. That's what you got to do. Let God run all the whole thing. Let him run it. Because you're not good at it. Nobody in here is a great driver. Let God run it. He's made us more than conquerors. The problem is we won't admit that we need him to help us conquer. We won't admit it. We won't say that we need the Lord. We're big, tough men. We don't need God. That's why I'm the spiritual leader. God knows who should be in charge. I'm going to tell you right now, my wife needs to set me straight so often. And by the way, that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. Ladies, you're setting them straight anyhow. Might as well help them out. But I'm telling you, if I start to live my life without calling upon the Lord, I've forfeited. I've lost. I've gotten myself into the losing column. You give me one example of where you turned your back on God and your life got better. And everybody's done it. Recently, probably. Oh, I didn't like what Brother Dave said about Facebook. Turn your back on God. Go ahead. But I believe with all of my heart that what you're doing on that thing is not Christian. And by the way, even if it was, couldn't you spend better time reading the Bible and learning what we've conquered? We've conquered death and hell through Christ. Through Christ, we've conquered sin, the sin that does so easily. You don't have to go. You don't have to do it. By the way, you don't need an adult. You don't need an adult to tell you to stay out of sin. You better stay out of sin. Because I hate to tell you this, folks. You know it's true. You were all teenagers once. There are times in your life when the adults aren't there. Huh? But what, let me rewind it for the adults. There are times in your life when nobody is around you and you don't even think God's watching. We do not have to live our lives in that way. We do not have to live our lives as defeatists. We do not have to live our lives in the social media liberal world that they're trying to put down your throat that we're the bad. We don't have to live our life that way because he made us more than conquerors in all these things. For what the law, verse 3, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He finished it. Yes, we are still sinners, but he has made us able to defeat sin through him. Number 3, through Christ, I'm glad of this, through Christ, we have conquered that debt. Man, that's good stuff. You know you're going to be a sinner. You understand that. I don't want you to go into sin, and I don't want you to keep doing it, and I certainly want you to call upon God when you're getting ready to. But no matter what you've done, and I'm telling you, the vast majority of religions fall short right here. They believe that there's some debt we can pay. The vast majority of religions all across the nation today fall short in the simple fact that they believe there's something that you can do to pay that debt, the wages of your sin. I got news for you. As we read verse 12 in chapter 8, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I'm going to tell you right now, God has taken away that debt. The wages of sin is debt. We owe it. Oh boy, do we owe it. But Christ went to that cross that day, glory to God, and he paid it. But he said, it is finished. I don't have to live in that life where I worry about what I owe. I'm going to tell you. When I met my wife, I was so deep in debt. And I married her and brought her in on it. And for the first 11 years of our marriage, all we did is tried to pay off a debt. If you want to get a man to stoop his shoulders, put him in debt. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, fellas. Where you know that you're going to work today to pay for a credit card. Pay for a gas bill, or you're in debt and you know it, and does it ever feel like there's never a way out? I mean, you ever, I pray, oh, when you kids get to this age where you can start to get credit cards, I'm begging you, don't. I'm begging you, I lived it. I'm telling you, by the time I was 19 years old, I was $19,000 in debt because they couldn't wait to get me on the hook and I couldn't wait to bite the bait. And I charged everything. Now, I can't remember what I bought. I'm of that generation. You get back a little ways, and you've got the generation of people that worked and earned and worked hard and lived 50 years to get what they had. I was 19. I wanted all that today. I don't have a TV, but I do have a card. I don't have a video gaming system, but I do have a card. I don't have a pizza, but I do have a card. That's the greatest thing ever to put on a credit card, by the way, is food. Wonderful, wonderful choice. Now you're paying 28% for the steak you just ate and didn't do you a whole lot of good. We owe a debt because the Bible says the wages of sin is debt. And aren't you glad that if you're saved in here that you accepted a gift? That gift was to pay the debt. Wouldn't you love to have somebody show up at your house and say, you know what, your mortgage is taken care of. Gone. No more mortgage. It's gone. Zero payments. Never have to worry about nothing. And the taxes, they're gone too. More than conquerors. Not just the mortgage, also the taxes. Woo-hoo! Wouldn't it be wonderful if you opened up your paycheck and there was no FICA? No Social Security. No whatever else they got. And I'm telling you, the list is getting longer. I don't know if you noticed, but your box is bigger where they can start taking deductions out. They must be planning something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if your property taxes were gone? This debt, the earthly, the debt that we live with today, that's something we've got to do. We're of this world. But at the very same time, oh my goodness, the debt that you have to pay, that sin debt, that debt that you cannot get out of, that debt that we owe, God has taken care of it, given us more than conquerors. He's paid it all. Not only that, he's paid all of that debt, and it doesn't stop there. This is more than conquerors, not just conquerors, more than conquerors. Not only did he pay that debt, he went ahead and went on ahead and prepared a place for us. And by the way, I don't think it's going to be junky. I don't think we're going to have to make siding repairs, roof repairs, trim repairs. Any type of addition is going to be taken care of in full. Because we aren't more than conquerors in the addition building. Although his might be done by now, I don't know. But I do know this, mine's not. But Christ has taken care of all of that debt and given us so much more. Christians, you may be in debt for a house or a car, or cards, or whatever, but you're not in debt to your sin. Christ has paid it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He looks at you and sees his blood. He looks at you and sees his payment. His payment for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, you don't deserve the payment. When did you become so good that God could say, oh yeah, I got to save him. I got to save her. She's that good. No, he looked down and said, I love you that much. I want to pay all the debt. We've got a great and wonderful God that has made us more than conquerors. If you look at this life, we know that he's conquered death and hell. You know that he's conquered sin. You know that he's conquered debt. But we through Christ in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, look at this now. The Spirit itself in verse 16 beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I wish you'd act like that sometime. I wish you'd grab a hold of what I'm preaching tonight and understand that you are a child of the King. You are a child of God. How are we going to get visitors in here? Come and introduce them to your dad. Come and introduce them. You love Jesus. Can you say amen? You love Christ, and you say, oh man, I love Christ, I love Christ. Well, what do you think that the person that you're going to introduce Christ to, do you think they're going to hate him? Come on. That's the attitude I used to have. I know you've heard this testimony before. I sat in the truck with my buddy Brian, been my buddy forever. We grew up together. He finally comes to my house. I sit him down. By the way, he'd been at my house several times, and I had been saved, and I had been here preaching, done a lot of those things, a lot of years. We get into the mind, though, that we're going to lose. That mentality is not a godly mentality. We walk around as though we've lost. We walk around as though whoever we talk to is never going to accept Christ. That's a godless mentality, not a godly mentality. Oh, they might not get saved, but why do we act like we lost before we even go in? My buddy sitting next to me in the truck, I said, oh, Brian, we've been friends for a long time. I've got to tell you something. I really, really do. I said, I love you, buddy. I really do. And I don't want you to go to hell. You got to get to that place. You got to get to that place where you want their debt paid too. You got to get to that place where you don't want them to go to hell. Because that's, honest to goodness, if you don't mind people going to hell, you're never going to be a soul winner. And I'm nobody to stand up here and say I'm the greatest ever. I'm not a good soul winner. I'm not. But I need to be. Somebody cared about my soul. As I sat in the truck and I talked to him, I witnessed to him, I told him about the Lord. You ever beat around the bush? Huh? You always beat around the bush the people you love the most. You don't want them to get mad at you. So you beat around the bush. I beat around that bush. That bush was half dead by the time I got done with it. If I said, Brian, wouldn't you like to accept the Lord right now? He said, sure. I wasn't planning for that. I had the answer all worked out when he said no. He got saved. We're sitting in the truck. He said, I'd like to ask you a question. And if you ever want to feel this big, do what I did. He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, we've been friends a long time. What took you so long? Why didn't you tell me? Did you tell me? My thought process was because I might lose my friend. But folks, let me help you. We're more than conquerors through him. I don't want to see him in hell. We're more than conquerors through him. He's paid his debt too. And if we go into the process thinking that we're going to lose something, then you're going into the process thinking that you've already lost. When I'm telling you with all my heart, you've not lost. You've won. You've won!
I said you've won. You say, well, maybe I won't win their soul. That's not your job. You tell them about the Savior. He's already paid the rest. If they don't accept it, it's a gift. What are you going to do? I've seen gifts not get accepted. I've seen green coats get kicked across the room at Christmas time. I've seen it. Who wants it? And they may kick Christ across the room. Who wants this? But you did your job. You won. Why? Because you told them. We are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Christian, you've got to get in your head. You are a winner. This is like a motivational speech. You're a winner, not because of you, but because of Him. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. If you could just grab a hold of that the rest of your life. This is the Bible, not Brother Dave speaking. This is the Bible. And if children of God, then heirs. It's not good enough just to give you a shack by the track. He's made you more than conquerors. More. And joint heirs with Christ. He's made us, by the way, not by our doing, He's made us joint heirs, equivalent to Christ. Not, I understand, not while we're here. None of you are walking on water. But understand this, when we get up to heaven, He's going to treat us as the children we are. We walk around defeated. We walk around upset. My daddy is the Lord. What do I have to fear? What do I have to be upset about? Why would I be depressed when God is my Father? For I reckon, let's go back. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He's conquered suffering. He's conquered suffering because the suffering that we're going to have it. Whatever, we're going to have it. We're in the world. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. I mean, you're going to suffer. I never understood the fact why we think that the Christian life is going to be full of roses. Why'd you think that? It's not going to be full of roses. You're going to suffer some. You're going to go through some battles. You're going to go through some hard times. It'll make you think just how much of a conqueror you are when God brings you through. We don't want to wait on His deliverance a lot of times. We don't want to wait on what God has for us. But by the way, did you know this? I know I preached this just a little while ago. Paul had a flesh issue, and he prayed God deliver him from that flesh issue. And do you know what God said to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. So Christian, why do you think you're so much better than Paul? Oh, that's good preaching right there. I saw every one of you go, that's just dumb, and I want to leave right now. But it's the truth. It's the truth. We walk through this like God owes us something. I'm going to tell you, He's already made us more than conquerors. He doesn't owe us a thing. He's paid it all. We're all paid for, and yet when God brings something down to try you so you can show off your faith to others, I said, so you can show your faith to others. We'd rather tuck tail and run. I'm not going back to that Baptist church. He keeps preaching on my social media. I'm not going to go back to that Baptist church. He preaches too hard, too much on sin, too much on that, too much. Let me tell you something. Go with what the Bible says. You're supposed to preach on sin 66% of the time. You're supposed to preach on how good God is 33% of the time. I'm mixing them both tonight. Mixer. Why don't you claim victory? Huh? Why don't you claim victory and shut off your computer? Why don't you claim victory and shut your newspaper? Oh, now wait a minute. That's going old school. You tell me there's anything good in the paper to read. Half the stuff's misspelled. Grammar's no good. All you read about is how bad the world is. Very seldom do you get feely-good stories, and they're usually on the very back. See, what bothers me is this. We live in a society that thrives on depression. You love it. When there's a wreck on the road, what do? Do you pray for them, or do you put your head up against that window and say, man, is somebody dead? Man, that'd be great. I'd start right out my day with dead people. And then you get to work and say, man, I saw somebody dead. Oh, you say, you laugh at me, but you know I'm right. We live in a society can't wait to see the bad, when all we've got ahead of us is the good. We talk about Christ as though, well, I need him on Sunday, but the rest of the week it's irrelevant. I'm going to tell you, when you go past the wreck, when's the last time you prayed? For the person or people laying there, or pray that everybody be all right, or pray that you get to work on time. See, it's amazing to me that we live a defeated life in a land that should be fraught with victory that Christ has given us. He's conquered your suffering. There's going to be a day we won't have any. But you know what he's done with your suffering? He's made it a way to victory. I believe that. It's no fun. No fun to think about. It really isn't. But you know what? Paul suffered. Not only with the problem with his flesh. He suffered shipwreck. He was beaten the maximum punishment of beatings several times. He suffered hunger, imprisonment. You know what he did while he was in all those things? He glorified God. Well, I'm not Paul. Oh, we know that. Trust me, nobody was debating that subject. I know I'm not Paul, too. I understand it. I complain quick. I'm a quick complainer. I got a stack of papers on my desk. So are you. When God has made us victorious through our sufferings, when God has made you victorious through your sufferings, if we never suffer, how will we know how good God is? He's got heaven waiting on us. While we're here, we're victorious. Look at this now. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, glory to God, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You live beaten, and you're not beaten, you've already won. There's going to be a day when no more workouts have to happen. Ha 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 ha! I passed that day about 3 years ago. They should happen, but they don't have to. When we get to heaven, can you imagine what it's going to be to have a glorified body? Why should we live victorious? Because God has taken care of all of it. What does that verse say that we started out with? What does that verse say? We are more than conquerors. All these things, more than conquerors. Look at this. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. He's already given you victory in your prayer life. You say, I don't pray. You got a God that's praying for you. You got a God that knows you better than you do. You've got a God that's giving you great victory. Well, okay, I'll just stop praying then. You're an idiot. You need to pray because you've got victory. I don't know what I'd say. It's okay. God does. I don't know how to pray. Don't worry, he'll show you. Just start out. Look at this now. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together to them that love God, for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. This is so good. If you don't get excited about this, you need to change in your Catholicism for some genuine Baptist. Them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about. Glory to God. He has fixed. He has given us victory. He has conquered the great gulf that is between us and getting to heaven. He's conquered that great gulf by his death. He's given us victory in the simple fact that he's justified us. And someday he's going to separate us and glorify us. He's given us the great victory, and yet we still act like we're defeated. For I'm persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Quit acting like he doesn't love you. He loves you, and it can never separate from you. What a great God we serve. If you look in Romans, then what do we do with it? I'm all done. We're victorious. We've already won. We've already won. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. So what do? Romans is a book that's packed with doctrine. Loaded with it. First half of Romans deals specifically with that doctrine that God gives us. The second half of Romans basically deals with how do we put it in our lives. It starts out in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of all these things. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I can't! Oh, yes, you can. He's made us more than conquerors. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your. Be not conformed to this world. If you're going to conform to this world, you'll be sad in 10 seconds. You'll be upset in 5. This world is not our home. This world is not where we are. We are in heaven, according to the Bible. We're already up there. All we're doing is waiting, holding out, working for him. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind. So you got to change something. You got to change. Turn your frown upside down. Get happy about what God has done for you. How long has it been that you've been saved? I mean, I'm telling you, what is it? You get saved, and the longer you've been saved, the sadder you get? That's the way it seems. Isn't it, preacher? You get somebody who's been saved 50 years, or 50 times as sad as they were when they got saved. Woo! I've got saved 50 years later. I don't think we ought to have this color carpet in our church. I mean, it's amazing to me. I'm a mature person. You first get saved, you don't care if the church has dirt floor. You're just excited to be in God's house. The altar is somewhere you go to all the time, but you get saved for 20 years, you don't even know what the altar looks like anymore. That's a long ways from here. I don't think I can make it. And I'm not going to go because these people think I'm doing bad. Trust me, we all know you're doing bad. Come to the altar. We are more than conquerors. Be a transformed by a renewing of your mind. Taking yourself back to where you once were when you got saved. My wife sings a song, I love it. Bring back the new again. Get close to the Lord again. Decide that, you know what? You've been saved long enough now. I think you got it about down. Let's get back up. It's amazing to me how mature Christians cease to lead people to Christ. It's amazing how mature Christians stop doing the things that God wants them to do. Well, I'm so good, I can do whatever I want. I can have that sin because I know God's given me the victory. Preacher, just preach so I can have that victory. You know better than that. Yet God has given us that wondrous victory freely. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by a renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What's His will for you? To be more than conquerors. I'm going to tell you right now. I hear all the time, church just isn't exciting as it used to be. I believe it's lost its luster. Unfortunately, it's you. Because He's made you more than conquerors. If you don't want to show up for the win, then you're probably going to live a depressed life. If you don't want to show up for the victory, I never understand why I'm so worried about telling somebody about Christ. Can I use me? I can't understand, Austin, why I'm so worried about trying to tell somebody about Christ. Why am I worried about that? Why? What would prompt me to be worried about telling somebody about how to win? Well, we can tell them all about the Steelers, all about the Browns. We can tell them all about the winning and losing, whatever. That's fine. But when we tell them about who's on the winning side, we're more than conquerors, folks. We're more than conquerors. If you've accepted Christ, He's made you more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Dear Lord, I thank You so much. Lord, I don't know why there's times I get myself in the doldrums. I don't know why. I know this was simple and there's nothing new here. Lord God, it seems like sometimes we've got to remind ourselves who we are. We're the redeemed. We are the redeemed. We are not some junk. We are the redeemed. You are our King. We are Your children. What do we have to fear? What do we have to be sorrowful about? We're children of the King. We cry out to You, Abba, Father, because we can. Lord, help us to embrace the victory. Help us to embrace the conquerors that we are. Lord God, please help us. Help us to take our victory out to others that they too may be victorious. Because in a world full of people that don't have the victory, I don't think we ought to keep it all to ourselves. I'm glad that Ron Brown didn't keep it from himself when he was dealing with me. Lord, please help us tonight to claim the victory that we've been given. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say for sure, 100%, that if they died today, they know they've got the victory. They know that they're going to go to heaven when they die. They know it, they know it, they know it. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? Is there any? Let me see them all. You may put them down. Then I have to ask, is there anyone that hasn't got that victory? By the way, it's not a victory you have to win. It's a victory you have to claim. It's already been won. It is finished. He won the victory on the cross. He gave Himself, the perfect one. He gave Himself for you, personally, personal. Don't live on my excitement. Don't live on preacher's excitement. Get your own excitement. Get your own victory. How many can say, I don't know, but I sure would like to know? Can you put your hand up real big and tall? I'm not sure. And I'm dealing with winners. I'm dealing with conquerors. I'm dealing with heirs, yea, joint heirs. I'm dealing with children of God. We should walk out of here the smilingest people in all of Portage County. Glory to God. Live your life winning, because that's what we are. What have we conquered? We've conquered all through Him. What a great God we serve. Dear Jesus, I thank You so much for all that You've done for us. Oh God, please help us to lead a life that is pleasing to You, a life that gives You the credit, a life that gives You the honor, a life that lives knowing that You've already won everything for us. We love You. Oh God, we love You. Help us to show it better. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us all stand. Brother John, what are we singing? Number 388, come quickly, the altar's open.